When we first arrived in the spiritual world, we still had a genuine need to be mothered. We were all rather dependent and felt very glad to have this kind mother looking after us. But through our enthusiasm to learn, and through the work we did, we subsequently grew stronger and were able to act with more independence. After the separation from our beloved mother, which then followed, we began to be responsible for ourselves for the first time. We lived a very happy communal life, and at the same time each of us went out from there to his work, I just the same as my brothers. I must not forget to mention that while I was still living with my spirit mother, I was often given permission to visit my grandmother. I used to tell her about what I was doing and also about anything of importance I had learned through my spirit mother about my beloved family on Earth. Whenever any one of our acquaintances, friends or family returned to the spiritual world, I would also go to greet them on their arrival. And so, I have told you something of what I have done in the spiritual world. I was asked to do so by our brother Joseph so that, as it has been explained to us, you may become more familiar with life in the beyond. I live very contentedly in my world. We do the work that makes us so happy and which we also dedicate to the glory of God, as far as it is in our power to do so. We join together in prayer and song to praise and glorify God. My brothers and I meet up regularly, we who were once regarded in earthly terms as so different, Orthodox, Jew, Muslim, Catholic, Protestant. We pray and sing together, reciting the same prayer, singing the same song, praising and glorifying God as one. We kneel in front of our King, all of us without exception. We are united in our faith, united in our common wish to support and encourage one another to do our utmost to glorify God. We put our effort into giving the best of ourselves in and through our work and into contributing to the splendors of heaven. It is our desire to render honor to God in this way. We also wish to show all our brothers and sisters how much joy it brings us to contribute to the best of our abilities to all the brilliance of heaven. For each one of us, irrespective of the religion he or she has been part of in earthly life, is a child of God. Each speaks of God as his or her father, and we all call one another brother or sister. There is nothing to separate us in our belief. We all have the same faith and we form one, united family. In this family there is God the Father, the Creator, the highest spiritual being in heaven, and Christ, our King. This is what I have wanted you to understand. And now I return to my work, and entrust you all to the blessing of God. God bless you. Address by the Ascending Spirit Pessa, received on 2 June 1965 in German through Beatrice Brunner, Karen, inside a village for children. Personal report, 5 September 1962. God bless. My name is Karen. During my time on earth I used to look after the sick, and it was always a great joy for me to be able to nurse children. I particularly loved the little ones, and it used to unsettle me a great deal when the babies and very young children died. I lived a life of trust in God and made sure I did what I thought was right, and I firmly believed that the children would continue their lives as little angels. I had no real picture of the afterlife, but I did believe we all survived in some form or other. I never expected it to be as it actually turned out to be. However, I had imagined a very different kind of world. When I opened my eyes here in the spiritual world, I found myself greeted first of all by my parents. Then, after my parents, came my guardian spirits, who introduced themselves and made comments and observations about my earthly life as if to say, "You see, we are giving you proof of the active part we took in your life. We are reminding you of your past once more." They explained to me how and in what circumstances they had often stood by me, and the individuals I had nursed. They told me, too, about many other things. With these few words of theirs it became quite clear to me that divine spirit beings had indeed been close to me while I had lived my life on earth. How otherwise could they have known all about the things that had happened to me? At the time I came into this new world, everyone seemed enormously pleased that I had arrived, and my parents said to me, "You loved children so much during your time on earth. You looked after them, cared for them and watched over their development with such interest and loving concern. You fretted so when it was their time to come into our world, and you worried about what form their lives would take. We have prayed expressly for you to be allowed to fulfill your work here with the children, and we had a strong idea that our request would be granted, for we could see that the angels who accompanied you were very pleased with you. And so it is, our request has indeed been granted. You will now be given permission to go to those same children, you will continue looking after them and you will live with them for a certain amount of time. But first, we want to celebrate your return. We are so happy to have you here with us. We are even going to be allowed to live near you, if not actually in the same village. We have had to wait so long for you to come, you know, and it means that we are now going to be allowed to take another step forward, too. And so, together with my parents, I was taken by a small group of angels and led along a most beautiful path. Very soon I began to see the prettiest flowers on either side of the path, and then large, rich pastures, and not long after that, the most wonderful areas of forest. Then all of a sudden someone said, "Now we've arrived at the very spot where you are going to be living." I looked around me and realized I was on top of a mountain, and that here, on the summit, stood a village. I had a glorious view in all directions. It looked to me as if the other villages were not all that far away, within quite easy reach in fact, for I had no idea that the distances were really much greater than they appeared to me then. Some similar on physical earth level I was given the following explanation: the villages and the valleys you can see look to your eyes as if they are very close. In point of fact, as far as you personally are concerned, they are not actually that far away. Sooner or later you will be given the opportunity to visit all these various villages and surrounding areas, and you will be able to see for yourself how quickly one is able to get from place to place. Here there are no distances in the sense with which you are familiar, but we will tell you about these things later. First, let us celebrate our reunion. I still felt rather numb, for I had only just emerged from a period of some considerable suffering. Though that time had not lasted all that long, I nevertheless had the feeling that a very great change had taken place in me. I felt as if I were somehow newborn. I had no pain of any kind. I had grown slim, too, and found it so easy to breathe. It was all so different from how it had been when I was in my physical body. Breathing was effortless now, and moving and walking was so easy, I didn't get the slightest bit tired. My companions had by now taken me up the hillside, and I felt as if I were truly floating despite having my feet on the ground, this spiritual ground, all the time. The village was a delight. At the entrance to it there stood a particularly beautiful looking house. As this was where they wanted to celebrate my return, we all entered the house. The place was a mass of color, such a wonderful sight. A round table had been laid, and I was told to sit down, and the others all followed. A place had been set for each of us. My first thoughts were, can this be possible? Does one really eat and drink in heaven? Do we have to earn our daily bread here, too, just as we did on earth? At this stage I really had no ideas of what life here was like. My thoughts were evidently easily read, for one of my companions, seated on my right, turned to me and said, "You don't have to worry about your daily bread here. In heaven food is always available. Tea is always given to those who need it or if it is thought necessary for their well-being, and always to those who want to spend time together enjoying each other's company. Here is always enough bread for that. Yes, we certainly enjoy eating, but food is not something we ever work for." While I was listening to this and looking round me, taking everything in and seeing who all the beings were seated at the table with me, one of the angels began to speak. He introduced me in turn to each figure present, with the exception of my parents. "Of course, this is a spirit sister of yours," he told me, "and this is one of your spirit friends." Well, I accepted what he said, a spirit sister and a spirit friend, but I didn't give it much more thought than that. More explanations followed. "And this Anjay used to look after you during particularly hard times with your patients, for he possesses a wonderful power, which he is indeed developing and expanding still. He shares this power with those who are sick and with those who nurse them. One by one they were introduced, brothers and sisters, friends, male and female, my spirit teachers, and finally my guardian angels. Then an angelic being appeared with a bowl filled with small pieces of bread, round, flat pieces of bread, cut very thin, not the kind you would know. For, I was told, today I was a guest of honor. And so I was served first. I took one of these thin slices of bread and put it on my plate, and then the bowl was passed around the table and each one took a small piece and likewise placed it on his or her plate. After this, the dish was set in the middle of the table, and two angelic beings came up bearing precious jugs filled with a most wonderful drink. This was actually wine from heaven. And once again, I was served first. The two angels in attendance poured a small amount into my cup, and then together they filled the cups of all the others. I waited until I was invited to eat the bread and drink the wine, and while I did so, the angel whom I took to be the most important spirit being present, for he wore especially fine clothing, raised his cup and looked upward. Holding his cup in the one hand, he extended the other as if to receive an invisible blessing or some kind of invisible power, as though he were reaching out to take hold of something. We all did the same, I in a somewhat clumsy manner, no doubt. In fact, I felt I wasn't able to hold up my cup in the same elegant way as my companions, and had to glance to my left and right to see how it ought to be done. Then came grace, which was said as follows: our common gesture having been made, the angel spoke and asked for God's blessing. He praised God for his glory and for his holy will, present in every single part of heaven and earth. Finally, he spoke in honor and praise of Jesus Christ our Savior, and with that we each took a sip of wine and drank to his honor. Then we took our bread, broke it, and ate. I have to say I was quite curious to know what these things would taste like. I still wasn't at all familiar with life in the heavenly sphere in the way that the others clearly were. My thoughts kept straying back to my recent time on earth, and I could still taste and smell the bread and wine I had known from before. I realized that this was not the bread I used to eat on earth. It had a much finer flavor, with a faint taste of herbs. I thought it absolutely delicious. The wine, too, tasted slightly of herbs, and it was quite wonderful too. Everyone eating with me appeared very happy, and made it very clear how glad they were that this celebratory meal was now taking place, and all because I had returned. It was then that I dared to ask myself, why does everyone make such a fuss over me? Surely I'm not worthy of so much attention. But they objected, you have given so much love, and you have given so much of yourself, they responded. And this little supper we have held for you, such was how they referred to the meal we had had, is just a token of our gratitude in the sight of all the work you have done. You have given so much, and for this you have been allowed now to taste some of the wine from heaven's vineyards and eat some of heaven's bread, the very same bread that is eaten in the house of God. The supper was in fact soon over. I had the impression that the various beings present had a great deal of work or important things to attend to, for their conversations were short and hurried, and now and then messengers would arrive delivering news to one or the other, and anyone receiving these messages would depart immediately afterwards. In all, about half those originally present left in this way, and eventually the others, too, said they had to return to their work and continue their duties. And so eventually I found myself alone with my parents and both my guardian angels, one on each side of me. Come, we are leaving this house now, they told me. We are going to the village where you will be given the work you are to do. On our way to the village, my parents explained to me that they did not live in the same village but that they did live in the same spiritual plane. We couldn't see their village, they told me, because it was behind the mountain. They repeated their invitation for me to visit them, and then they left us. They, too, had their work to return to. The angels, my spiritual guardians, walked with me to my village. The village was full of buildings of all sizes, from the very small to the very large. I also saw some delightfully pretty gardens and some magnificent areas of forest, quite close to the village itself, indeed. The houses appeared to border right onto these wooded areas. My guardian angels and I then entered a house, and they said to me, "We are now in the house where the very smallest children are brought up. This is where infants live who pass into the beyond after only a very short time on earth. These are beings who have lived for perhaps just 2 or 3 days, or 2 or 3 months. Example, I had so many questions to ask. I felt confronted by so many new things that I really didn't know what to ask first. Just be patient, they told me, and you will be given answers to all your questions." And so I was shown inside the house. It had many floors. I was told that all the infants were at the same level of spiritual development, regardless of what floor they were on, and that the only difference between the various floors was the contrasting colors with which they were decorated. On one floor I found all the infants asleep in little colored cots. The general impression was of a marvelous richness of color and the most wonderful light, not a harsh light as I had known on earth, but a light that was somewhat dimmed. It really was a joy to work in this light. One felt very much calmed by it, so very different from the artificial light on earth. There was also no night in this world, no experience of darkness at all. In its place was this wonderful luminescence, in all its different colors. It was quite lovely. One could not help but feel the presence of this additional light, fanning out into all the colors of its spectrum. All colors softly in harmony with one another, and producing in me a quite tangible sense of calm. When I went to take a look at the other floors, I could see that the infants there, too, had bedding in the same soft colors, and I was particularly interested to find out from what kind of material this bedding was made. I had, of course, never seen or known of such spiritual materials before. How, and from what, they were made. The explanation was given to me immediately. "As you see, we have quilts and coverlets, and silk, too, and all kinds of precious materials. But here everything exists in its spiritual essence, in its purest form, whereas in earthly life things are found only in their coarser, denser forms, which are so much less fine and beautiful. True beauty is something only we possess, it is only found in the spiritual realm." And so I spent some time looking at these materials. At the same time I took the opportunity to feel over my own body. I quickly realized that my hands were no longer the same as they had been on earth, despite still being recognizably my own. They were no longer as bony or as fleshy as before. They were much finer now, much more delicate. The same thing was true of the spirit materials, too. They were so fine and delicate as well. If only people could see what precious things there are in the spiritual world. I thought to myself, if only people knew even a little bit about this world, their faith would be so much stronger. They would be able to trust that life goes on after the death of the physical body. And if they really believed that, they would lead such different kinds of lives. They would strive to a far greater extent than they do for riches of a spiritual kind, rather than just the earthly wealth they now seek. These were the thoughts that went through my mind each time I saw and experienced something new. I thought the house with all its tiny spirit children a most wonderful place. And of course I was keen to know whether I was going to be allowed to work here, for I found these little ones so sweet and lovable. I would have adored to have been able to hold cash one of them in my arms, and to have hugged them to me. That would have given me so much pleasure, but I didn't dare do so. I was only there to look round, and to wait until I was assigned the work I was to do. I saw not just the infants but the many helpers, too. Beside roughly every second bed there stood an angel, for these infants needed to be looked after. They are looked after with great care, and they pass through all the usual stages of growing up, I was told. I saw how they were brought little containers of food which were held so that they could drink from them. The containers were so fine I could see the liquid inside them. They seemed to be made of glass, just as in the physical world, but a kind of glass which, though it resembled the glass of earth, did not have the same sort of dense quality. "What are these little ones being given to eat and drink?" I asked with interest. "Do they need to be given something to eat and drink? Can they not get the nourishment they need simply by breathing? Yes, I was told, they can get a part of their nourishment that way, but not enough to enable them to grow. They have to be strengthened in other ways, and it is for that reason that they are given a supplementary form of nourishment, as you have observed. May I ask what kind of nourishment that is? I asked. The angels showed me the liquid and even gave me some of it to drink. I discovered that it was tremendously sweet and could well imagine that the infants found it delicious. And then I wanted to know, so, is it milk, or something of the kind? Something like infants on earth are given milk from an animal? No, they answered, it is not milk from an animal. We don't use milk from animals here. Here we have the most wonderful kind of fruit, and later we will show you the garden where this fruit grows. At the direction of one of my companions, I was brought one of these fruits. It was about the size of a normal apple, and one could see the liquid in its interior, a milk-like substance. The angel showed me how one only had to scrape the outside of the fruit at one particular place for the milk to pour out of it. A glass was held to the spot and the precious liquid poured out into it. This fruit has come from God's own garden, the angel said to me. All the food we eat comes from the gardens of heaven. I was astonished by all of this, yet I had prepared myself to be surprised. I was after all in heaven, and that much was now clear. Heaven was indeed proving to be a place full of surprises and many things I wasn't for the time being able to understand. I had no intention of asking about each and every detail, however, I wanted to wait until I had reached the point where I could understand these things for myself. And so, my companions and I eventually left this first house and entered the one next door. There we found children of between 2 and 4, perhaps 5, as I would judge according to an earthly reckoning. These young children were busy playing together. They had their beds, too, but not as pretty or smug-looking as those the infants slept in, more a kind of simple platform bed, with a brightly colored coverlet. I thought to myself, the children must find this a very nice place to be. The children could spend time in the room we were in, but I was told that in fact they spent most of their time outdoors, and that it would be impossible to keep them inside all the time. The children need us to interact with them and also to interact with one another, I was told, and it is essential that they receive plenty of loving care, essential that we who bring them up should treat them with so great deal of affection. These are the same children who have spent time in the other house before coming here, and they, too, are looked after by angelic helpers from the heavenly world. At that point I was led out of the house and told, the lives of these children are spent mostly out of doors, not inside the house. Only every now and then are they taken back indoors for a period of rest. They need their rest, and they have their own particular pattern of sleep. Now to what I experienced outdoors, in the garden. I was led towards a particularly fine garden, and my first thought was that what I was seeing here, could be seen now and then on earth, too, especially with mothers who have time for their children, mothers who are really devoted to their children and give them a great deal of love. In this garden there were a number of small ponds beside which the children were playing. There were bridges and tunnels, too. It was a picture very much like what one might see on earth, children at play, building bridges and houses, and so on, out of sand. Here in the spiritual world, however, the play area wasn't filled with sand. Instead, everything they were building was made out of the corresponding spirit matter. For example, the tiny bridge which the little spirit children were able to climb on and over. I watched as some climbed underneath and through to the other side, and as others played beside little rivulets or at the edge of the miniature ponds. They were all busily doing one thing or another. And then my companions drew my attention to something quite remarkable. Here and there you will see children who don't seem to be getting on with the rest. Even in the spiritual world one can see the smallest ones showing something of their inner character. Some are always prepared to stand back and let others take the lead. Others, even when they are very young, do their best to dominate the rest, and you will find others again, the obedient ones, always doing exactly what the former group tells them to do. These little children are looked after by divine angels, and urged to treat each other gently and not to be disruptive. They have to learn to share the things that are there for their amusement, what we might describe as their toys, and they have to realize that if one of them is playing in a particular place, he or she must be allowed to remain there, without being pushed aside by another. For it can happen that one child is driven away by another, simply because that other child has decided that he or she wants to be in the first one's place. The small children thus have to learn to put up with not having what they want, and to behave towards others with kindness and consideration. The child that has been playing in the same place for a reasonable length of time will generally be asked in an affectionate way to give up his or her place to one of the others, and to go and look for something else to play with. In this way, the children are taught how to be kind and loving. Naturally enough, one cannot expect them to have very much understanding for others at this stage, but they nonetheless do have to learn to get on with one another, and this is not always a simple matter in as much as, young though they are, their actions always express their inner being. The wonderful thing is that the imbalances that are within them can always be worked through and overcome. It was also pointed out to me that play is always linked to instruction, and that the great number of angels who live and work with these children strive to teach them to be obedient. Obedience and consideration for others are the most important things for them to learn, I was told. In the next house I entered, I found older children still, 6 and upwards. These children were allowed to spend a certain amount of time at play as well. They, too, had a garden, and I was told that a large part of their activities took place in the garden, and that they would also be given their lessons outside. Only at pre-arranged intervals were they brought back indoors where each had his or her own place to sleep. These children needed to sleep just like the others. At my asking, is that really necessary? Does one really have to sleep in the heavenly world? I was told, during the time they are asleep, their spiritual bodies grow, they don't remain the same size they are now. The spiritual body grows, and they themselves grow at a soul level, that is, a development of their thinking and their will takes place. It is for this reason that they need to sleep. This much could see for myself. After their sleep, the children were much more receptive and much calmer, too. They had, as you say, calmed down and were rested and relaxed. They were also much more willing to do what they were told, and better able to follow the instructions they were given, for the time spent playing had, in a certain sense, tired them out and they then needed to sleep. All this was organized in accordance with the laws of heaven, I was told. Then I was taken to yet other houses and told, this is where children up to 12 years of age live, 12 years by an earthly reckoning. Older children do not live in this village, they live in another village nearby, where they are already given work to do. The children here had their lessons at regular intervals. I would prefer not to talk about time as such, since in the spiritual world time doesn't have the same meaning it has on earth. The children were given instruction in divine law, and many other related things besides. They were also taught a single common language, so that all the children in the one house learned the one language. I should mention at this point that all the children, even the youngest, have to learn a language. All the inhabitants of the one house speak the same language, and thus everyone can understand everyone else. By contrast, the angels who come and go speak various languages and are able to communicate with all the children alike. And so, each house is home to children of a particular age and particular level of development. Lessons are conducted in the language the children learned when they were little, though of course their grasp of the language improves steadily over time. It is just as it is with people on earth. As the child grows and develops, there is more and more for him or her to learn. In the spiritual world, too, the little child grows up to become an independent being who must be capable of distinguishing right from wrong at his or her own level of development, and of satisfactorily carrying out the work he or she has been assigned to do. This is how education is carried out in the spiritual world. The plane I have been speaking of, so I was given to understand, has a great many villages corresponding to the many different races and peoples living on Earth. Children from these different nations are guided to their own particular place where they can grow up among their own kind.